Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Monday. The Monday after the West final that the Riders win 24-21. And they're off to Winnipeg. Pretty well, as we speak. Loading the buses, heading to the airport. They'll fly in around 6 o'clock tonight, Winnipeg time. And that is where they'll stay all the way till game time on Sunday. Someone texted, what the? The Riders aren't the home team in the Grey Cup? They are not. They are the visiting team. They're away of their white jerseys, green helmets, green pants. It's rotational basis. Because the last couple of Grey Cups we've seen, it went Hamilton, Saskatchewan, Hamilton. And then after that, we've seen it's going to be Vancouver, Winnipeg, Calgary, Saskatchewan. So that's four straight West teams. So last year it was in Vancouver. It was the West was home, the East was away. This year, East is home, West is away. Unless Bombers would have been there. If the Bombers would have been the
home, then they get the,
they would have been the home
does
team.
That restart the order West?
Yeah.
East.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not the Bombers. So the Alouettes will get the Bombers locker room and the Bombers sideline. The Riders will get the visiting
sideline. I'm okay with that.
And they will get the Bisons locker room, the University of Manitoba Bisons locker room, which isn't a bad room, to be honest. So they will, that's how things go. They'll be wearing their white, green helmets, green pants. The Alouettes will be all in blue, blue pants, jersey, helmets. They've already announced the jersey combos for all the right. Two teams for the 112th Grey Cup. But each and every day, after a Rider game, we give you our top grades and our failing grades.
Jamie and Locker are about to take you to school.
Bueller. Bueller.
They've got their red pens and filling the margins.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Here are their top grades.
You mean I passed?
And their failing grades.
You get nothing. You lose.
It's time for the Green Zone Report Card.
Yes, you can send us your top grades, failing grades as well. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line if you want to weigh in on who you're giving a top grade to or who you're giving a failing grade to from the 24-21 win in the West Final that is sending the Riders to their first Grey Cup in 2013.
It's interesting. We've already had a couple of grades, and I didn't think of a few that have already come in, right?
Well, there's some creative folks out there.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
The top grades.
They're watching the game. They're paying attention. Jamie and I, let's get going, though, with your failing grade.
My failing grade goes to the entire BC Lions organization. Well, specifically two people. Owner Amar Doman, general manager Ryan Rigmaiden. Failing grade for that ridiculous screen grab that was shared on Amar Doman, the owner of the BC Lions, social media, with the blurry photo. He has the thing circled on the ground, not a catch. That was Tommy Neal's elbow. Oh, my. I couldn't believe it when I saw the post on Instagram or wherever it was. I was like, that's his elbow. What are we doing? And then Ryan Rigmaiden piles on yesterday at the closing news conference in BC.
I just saw it about 30 minutes ago. I mean, it's obvious it's not a catch. I think that's all I should probably say about that.
Yeah. How frustrating is that?
Terribly frustrating. I mean, you know, you've got guys that are fighting the whole season to lose a game on something that may have not been a catch. And so, listen, hats off to Sask, their staff, their players. They've had a tremendous year, but nobody wants to lose a game that way. You don't want to lose a game, period, but especially that way. And so I just saw the photo of it maybe 30 minutes ago, so I'm just trying to digest it as well. But to me, it did not look like a catch.
Well, to you, Ryan, you probably needed to look at it for another probably 30 seconds, match it with the TSN footage, and you would have realized it was Tommy Neal's elbow, not the ball that was on the ground. I can't believe an owner and a general manager would spread that across social media. I couldn't believe it. You embarrassed yourselves, BC. You absolutely embarrassed yourselves. Because now everybody's watching it back and going, it was his elbow. Like, that's a bad look. He should be fined. not only my failing grade, the owner should be fined from the Board of Governors. If I'm at that table, if I'm Craig Reynolds around the table at the Board of Governors meeting this week, my first question is, how big is Amar's fine for the ridiculousness of calling into question the officiating and the replay center on that call and the integrity of the West Final?
I'm curious what the parameters are for a fine like that, because
bringing disrespute into the
league. Not whether or not he should be fined. I think he should be. But there's rules dictating how much you can fine a player and,
we'll
and
never
a coach.
Know. They don't disclose Board of Governor fines.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Only the player fines. If a coach gets fined, I don't think they disclose that either. It's just...
And how many times have owners been fined?
We don't know because they don't disclose them. He should get fined for that one.
That's unfortunate.
It was Tommy Neal's elbow. Like, I couldn't believe the owner of the BC. He's my failing grade. Like, five Fs.
Man, they looked at that for a really healthy amount of time during the broadcast as well. And every angle they showed, I mean, take the elbow picture out of it. I couldn't see anything that would have given them...
The first replay I saw was like, oh, his arm went underneath
the
ball.
There wasn't like, enough to call that one back.
That was a good touchdown. Tommy Neal, it was a good touchdown. We all know it was a good touchdown. The not-a-catch narrative out of BC is horse bleep.
All right.
Locker, what's your failing grade?
Well, I'm going to fail Trevor Harris. For his sliding plays in the second half.
Running out of time, but he steps up and takes off. Running and sliding is Trevor Harris, looking for the first down and close to it inside the 10.
I don't think he was
feet
a baseball
first.
Player. I don't think he was a baseball player.
Feet first, Harris! What are you doing? There was like two I can recall from the second half where I was like, oh no, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. Yeah, I was...
Well, the one late in the game,
that one was not good.
That might have been a headshot.
That was not good. Anyway, I hope someone pulls him aside and goes, listen, he was putting his body on the line to win that game, and there's no way the Rough Riders are getting on a plane right now and flying to Winnipeg without the performance that Trevor Harris put in the second half. So you gotta give him points for that. But, man, my heart just about fell out of my stomach a couple of times during that game when you know what? You feel bad already because he's 39. He's running, and you're like, just stay in the pocket. Stay in the pocket, old man. But then he slides. Like that one, he kind of went down sideways. I don't know what he was. Anyway, that's my failing grade, all right? Also, can I add quickly? The person responsible for making snow pants without a zipper in the front of them.
I think that should have been your failing grade, not Trevor Harris.
Trevor Harris is sliding is my failing grade.
Yeah, that you should have canceled that one and gone with the snow pants thing.
It's an add-on.
Okay.
Yeah. Put zippers on snow pants.
Let's go to the top grades. My top grade goes to A.J. Allen.
BC in the driver's seat. Rourke takes off. No! Stopped! And Mace's defense does its job again.
Yes, it was second and three. Watch that play over. Watch it over. Let's break down the film. It is a called QB draw. Absolutely, there was no Nathan Rourke just felt he needed to run. That was called. Buck Pierce admitted it was that was the call. QB draw. One-on-one. The running back goes. He's got A.J. Allen. The running back's job is to block A.J. Allen. Watch that play on this crucial second and three. And note, A.J. Allen just grabs him and tosses him aside and then tackles Nathan Rourke. Like, A.J. Allen has had so many big plays at big times this season. That was just another one. Like, I know Jameer Thurman also came in and cleaned up, and C.J. Revis.
Yeah,
watch A.J. Allen. That is the play that you go, this guy wants it more than the other guy.
No,
the running,
on
if
that
the
down.
Running back wanted it more than A.J. Allen, he makes that block. But no, A.J. Allen grabs him and tosses him to the side to make the play on Nathan Rourke. Got the ball back to the Riders. They go down, score the touchdown. A.J. Allen is my top grade. from the West Final.
That's one of probably five or six plays during that game that could be plays of the game.
We're going to debate this. What was the play of the game? What was the play of the game? Because Daryl said it was the Tommy Neal touchdown on the postgame show, and people were like, nope, it's this play. Nope, it's this play. You have a different one. Marcus. I have a different one. That was mine. So we have a lot of different opinions on what the play of the game is. But sorry, Locker.
I'll get to mine when we get into it. But mine is Marcus Sales. People will remember that play. My top grade goes to Corey Mace and the coaching staff.
I trust Corey Mace. He knows what he's doing. As you guys all saw, I'm sure that there's people home going, what are you doing? And now they're like, Mace is the man.
This group stuck to their plan. They didn't panic. That demeanor showed up on the field on both sides of the ball, from the quarterback to the kicker, and especially showed up in the last 3 minutes of the game when just about everyone in Riders Nation, plus the 30,000 people at Mosaic Stadium, questioning every move that he made. There were countless coaches and GMs in my section, and I think it was right through the entire building. Again, that poise is the reason why they're heading to their first Grey Cup in 12 years. My top grade, once again, Corey Mace, the next coach of the year in the CFL, and if he isn't, something went seriously wrong with the voting and the entire Saskatchewan Rough Riders coaching staff. It's nice to see also that that sort of demeanor, again, he passed it on to the team. The team carries themselves like Corey Mace. And you don't always see that.
From top down, this organization has done it the right way all season long. They're going to do it the right way all week long in Winnipeg. There's your top grades, your failing grades from us. Now it's your turn. 1-877-332-8255. Who gets your top grade from the West Final? Who gets your failing grade as the Riders are off to the Grey Cup? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you. Let's get right to your passing grades, failing grades. Lana, what do you got for a top grade?
Well, there was some fantastic plays in that whole game, and it was a team effort. But two that really stood out to me as TSN turning points were not the Tommy Neal touchdown. Obviously, Tommy Neal's for two reasons. He caught that one long pass along the sidelines, what got us into rage and set us up for that eventual questionable field goal. But then it's also right at that last 14 seconds, the Dante Myers catch that put us on the three to set up the touchdown to win. So Tommy Neal and Dante Myers, we're all talking A.J. Willett, we're all talking Trevor Harris, but these young guns for the next, well, the legacy of 3 years to when we win three consecutive and host the Cup in 27, those boys need to be signed up.
Harris, inside the five, it's caught! Dante Myers with the catch of his life!
Yep, that was a heck of a catch to set up the game-winning touchdown, Lana. Great call on
some of
those.
He had to get himself into a weird position to catch that as well, right?
Like, unbelievable.
That was not your typical pass, right? He had to maneuver.
Contort himself
a
little bit behind him. Jordan, top grades, failing grades. What do you got, top grade?
All right, top grade. Got to be Corey Mace and that field goal first strategy. It forced BC and Buck Pierce for his failing grade for the two chicken calling type play. Yeah, sorry. I stopped myself. You get it. Like, he just didn't go aggressive. If it's tied, if we get that touchdown, Buck Pierce is going all out with Nathan Rourke to win that game and take all the time off. But up four, he goes conservative twice. We get our second chance to drive down that field and get that touchdown to win it. So top marks for Corey, failing for Buck Pierce, honorary fail to you guys getting a little too excited over the potential backup quarterback playing. Let's not forget, a backup quarterback won last year in the Grey Cup, and also the McLeod-Bethel Thompson also has won a Grey Cup right here in Regina. So don't get too ahead of yourself.
And Jordan, to add to that, Jordan, can I add something?
Sure.
Remember, it was McLeod-Bethel Thompson who put up 48 against this defense a couple of weeks ago at Mosaic Stadium. So, yes, we can't.
And our fifth and sixth backup DBs, too. So that's the one thing. We got a nice DB set. We should be okay.
Yeah, Kerfala Exume will not start that game for the Grey Cup. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Riders off to Winnipeg. They'll land in about an hour and a half. Their prep week begins, of course, game day. A kickoff will be just past 5 o'clock. They'll do the kickoff show with Our Lady Peace and stuff. Our Green Zone pregame coverage begins at 3, but we will start broadcasting live from Winnipeg tomorrow to bring you wall-to-wall coverage of the 112th Grey Cup. Mike O'Shea already chatting with the Toronto Argonauts. They got clearance to talk to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers head coach about their coaching vacancy with Ryan Dinwiddie to Ottawa. Monday Night Football should be a pretty good football game tonight. It's the Philadelphia Eagles against the Green Bay Packers. More of your calls. Stay on the line. We'll get right at it. Next, top grade, failing grade. What's the play of the game? We'll relive the West Final next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Zone, we are reliving a dramatic, dramatic West Final that is sending the Rough Riders to the 112th Grey Cup. It came right down to the wire. And, of course, the hero was touchdown Tommy.
Harris, end zone! Touchdown! Touchdown, Tommy Neal!
Yes, it was Tommy Neal's touchdown with 11 seconds left. That were the game-winning points as the BC Lions only had the hook and ladder punted down the field play for a miracle. To try to win the game. It didn't work out.
I like what Lana was saying. Tommy Neal, I mean, there's a couple of receivers. Sam Amelis, his play was just insane in that second half. But Tommy Neal had that one play where he got a bunch of yards after the catch, too.
That was, as Lana said, the field goal won, but got to drive the field. Big plays all over the place down the stretch. The Riders made them. The Lions did not. Your top grades, your failing grades. We're going to continue that conversation. Jim, you have a top grade. What do you got?
Top grades to Corey Mace and failing grades to all the people who thought they know as much about coaching or more than he does. I'm pretty sure he was aware that this season 40 out of 81 games were decided in the last 3 minutes of the game. All of the playoff games this weekend and last weekend were decided within the last 2 to 3 minutes of the game. In fact, the BC game changed scores about three times, I think, in the last minute last week. At the time of the field goal attempt, we had forced two and out five times. And if it weren't for Rourke, it probably would have been about eight times, but he was playing Houdini out on the field there. The oldest cliche in the CFL is that 3 minutes in the CFL is an eternity. And you guys would maybe correct me on this, but I think I counted, was it 17 plays took place after the 2 minute and 42 second mark at the time of the field goal.
17 plays?
Yep.
17.
It would be, usually it's that number if it's a close game.
Six by them, six by us, resulting in punts, and then the ones that ended up turning into the touchdown. So, you know, so for fans who were saying that this was some kind of a blind faith decision or a flip of the coin or a gut choice by Corey Mace, I think they're missing the point that...
I don't know about that. Can I, Jim, let me just jump in here. Sure. I don't think that was it. I think the question was taking a chance on that third and 10, like at the goal line. It's not about whether or not they had enough time to get back into the game or... But listen, I think if you're sitting there relaxed watching him make that decision, then everyone was freaking out.
Jim's failing 99% of the people that were watching that football game.
And that's exactly my point. Coaches don't think like fans. And you know what? In addition to the things that I pointed out about everything that happened this season, the other thing is that in a split second decision, Corey Mace knew the team better than anybody else, and he had to make that decision. And the funny thing is that people are still talking about questioning, and yet one of the things that fans constantly do is decide whether a play was the right call or the wrong call, depending whether it was successful, which we know is not logical because sometimes the right call doesn't work and sometimes the wrong call does. But it's just funny to me that in this case, it worked out as well as it possibly could have, and he counted on his team to play flawless football in the last 3 minutes, and they pretty much did.
They did. It was an outstanding final 3 minutes for that football team, and it's all about, I wrote it at CJME.com.
A lot of things went right.
But CJME.com, CKOM.com, I wrote about it. It was all about belief. They believed in each other. Corey Mace believed in that defense.
Yeah.
He believed that they'd get the ball back, and then he believed they'd punch it in the end zone again.
It was all about that decision was all about belief.
And
it wasn't panic. It wasn't anything. It was, I believe we will get the ball back. I believe we will drive down the field again, and we will score a touchdown. That's what that was from Corey Mays. And they paid him back exponentially.
And I don't agree with Tillershire, who was commenting that he thought that maybe, you know, that Corey Mays would never admit it, but that Mays was trying to keep the ball off of the foot of Brett Lawther. I think it was more about trusting his defense.
Let's go to Terry. Terry, what are your top grades, failing grades from the West Final?
Hey, guys. How the hell do you follow that color? He was a professor. But anyways, my passing grade, well, I was part of the 1%. I had 100% faith in both coaching, like the offense and defense coaching staff.
A lot of you 1%ers coming out of the woodwork today.
I was in a suite that had two head coaches, probably two or three offensive coordinators and one defensive coordinator, you'd think by their comments. But anyways, my failing grade is the TSN panel. Like, they were fanboying so bad on Rourke. Like, it was like they should be ashamed of themselves. And do you honestly think if the God Center could have found a way to make that not a touchdown, they would have grabbed it?
I think they were trying, Terry.
Yeah, that's what took so
they
long.
They were trying.
There's got to be one where we see the ball hit the ground. There's got to be one.
I think in a game like that, they're to be fair to them, I think they're trying to make sure they get the call right.
They did.
They did. They got the call right. And again, I'm not an expert, but I didn't see anything from – I went back and watched the game, and I watched that play. I overwatched it just to see if there was anything that looked like it could have been turned. It didn't look like they could make that decision. I think they did the right thing.
There wasn't any doubt. After all the replays, There was no doubt the call on the field was a touchdown.
Do you think there wasn't they were trying too hard to get a BC win?
No, they just wanted to see every look. I don't think they cared about. They don't care about the result, but they wanted to make sure they didn't miss a look, and then all of a sudden, oh, darn it, that angle got it. Richard, what do you think? Top grades, failing grades from the West Final.
Well, top grade goes to exactly where it should always start, and that's with the offensive line in the trenches. What a game they did. Holes for AJ, protection for Harris, and ultimate protection on the last set of plays all the way down the field. We don't get long passes down the field if Trevor doesn't have time to sit in the pocket and wait for somebody to come open. So that's my top grade. Those guys deserve it, and I think they're going to do exact same thing this weekend. Feeling great, it's kind of feeling great, and to me is also the best grade, and that is the fact that the guy punted the ball when there is nobody in his team anywhere close down the field. Like,
at the end of the game?
I'm going to say that was an American. I'm going to blame a nationality on there. I don't know who it was, but you when I saw that, I was like, game over. That was the game. That was the play of the game.
Was that a DB?
No, it was an offensive lineman. It was a Canadian. It was Andrew Pearson, by the way. I can fail because BC Lion fans are actually like messaging his wife on social media and saying awful things about Andrew Pearson. So it wasn't that there was no BC Lions around because nobody could recover. That was a rug. So I was explaining to my son what he was trying to do because he was like, why did he kick the ball?
Yeah.
And I said, remember when we watched the women's rugby and how they would try to kick the ball down the field and somebody with speed would try to run and get the ball first to advance it. That's the only way in the CFL when you're past the line of scrimmage you can advance the ball is by kicking it.
If you're going to pass it, you have to do it.
I'll be honest. I have said this for years. I've been saying, when will a CFL coach bring in someone from the Regina Rugby Club to teach them how to advance the ball down the field on a hook and ladder play like that? Because they've got no idea. They've got no prep. But Andrew Pearson knew the only way we can get down there
Either that,
to
or you're just going to
touchdown.
Just going to keep passing it back and forth.
You're going to go back and forth until you fumble it. Is to kick it down and hopefully they bobble it and our guy recovers it. So he had the right mindset. But please, somebody bring in a coach from the Regina Rugby Club to teach the guys how to pitch and have one. Have your biggest.
If you're
going to
do that,
ready
though,
to go, and
Jamie.
Have the guy that kicks it across the field. So he can run. That's the only way that's ever going to work now in the CFL.
To Richard's point, there was no one downfield from BC.
They couldn't. They had to be behind him when he kicked it to get the ball. They needed a because
you can't have anybody in front of the ball when you
can't be in front of the kicker. They have to be behind him to recover it. They just needed a speedster to get his. He needed to pop it up maybe higher than
a little bit higher.
Come on, in that moment
you need a lucky bounce. Yeah. Okay.
I bet you Andrew Pearson probably has some rugby.
I didn't know that rule. I knew that the only way you could advance it was to kick it, but I didn't know that everybody had to be behind the line before you kicked it.
I knew exactly what he was trying to do. He was trying, that's the only way they could have advanced it. Or someone takes a stupid penalty. That was the only other option.
Yeah.
And thankfully nobody did. 1-877-332-8255.
Why is this a thing now where we're going after family members of professional athletes?
Yeah.
When did this start? Like, what's wrong with the world?
Because people have more access to people now.
Just stop it. Like, it's a football game.
Before you had to find out from some guy who knew some guy who where the kicker's home was and you'd to go dump manure on the sidewalk. Now he just attacked his family on Twitter. Well, let's go to Ken in Saskatoon. Ken,
give me the manure.
What do you got?
Almost take that.
Okay, I was at the game with my son, so that's going to be my highlight because more than anything else in sports, the Rough Riders are family. My dad passed along this disease to me. I passed the obsession on to my son. My son is... My grandson, he's 5 years old, and I'm not sure we're doing him any favors because I know the pain and agony that's gone through my family in all these years. But we are going to the Grey Cup game together, so that's a wonderful thing.
Hey, Ken, drop by the fan zone on Thursday afternoon or Friday. I'd love to spend some time.
Yeah, come by. Shake some hands.
Okay, we'll do that. Here's the next thing, is on the downside. I really think that they have to work on the in stadium experience. And to give you a specific example, is Sales went and got that interception, really important interception. Kind of hard to see that it would bounce off of somebody from where we were sitting. Look up for the replay. They go to a commercial for a grocery store. Then after that, cheer team goes out and they put the cheer team up there and then eventually they get to this replay and it's kind of, okay, so that's what happened. But you emotionally you're down now because you didn't get it right away. And there's any number of times where the announcer could have been clearer and the experience could have been better there. It's a good thing it was a great game in the second half. But yeah. they need to look at those things that, we're scheduled here, we're scheduled there. No, you have to go. This was a great play. This was an important thing. Let's expand it for our audience who are paying good money to come down and see this.
More replays. I've heard that over and over. There's not enough replays shown at Mosaic Stadium. It's one of the biggest beefs, Ken, that people have. Is
more screens in the concourse.
I want to see that replay.
Yeah.
I don't save your commercials for give us 15-second replay, then run the contest. But yeah.
They got the lines for beer covered with the TVs, but more on the concourse level, I think. Anyway,
there's tons of screens around the concourse. Can't miss a moment.
Are there?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, maybe it's just me. I don't know.
I'm just. Are you looking in the middle? All the way around the concourse, they have screens above you.
I noticed maybe in the lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. There's plenty of TVs in that stadium to keep you covered while you're waiting for a pierogi. More coming up here on the Green Zone, our game of the night, and your top grades and failing grades on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. David and Melfort, you got a top grade. What is it?
My top grade is stop A.J. Allen and Jameer Thurman made on Rourke, because without that, they wouldn't have never got the ball back. So,
absolutely.
So I think that's my top grade. And my standing grade, I had a kind of a funny one. I was going to go with the kick, too, but I seen somebody else that I'm going to do a different one. Nathan Rourke's wife. Apparently, I've been reading online that she demanded some fan who had a picture of Nathan Rourke with him crossed out with two X's or something. She demanded that he rip that picture up. I had a good laugh about that. And
there is a story circulating that Nathan, I don't think it was Nathan Rourke's wife, but I believe it was somebody within his family.
Somebody.
On behalf of her was like, can you get rid of the sign? Because it had Nathan Rourke's picture with the no smoking thing, but like no Nathan Rourke. Apparently that was.
People stay off social media.
Offensive.
It's just your life is going to be better. And stay off social
and
media.
And understand, when you are in the other team's territory in a playoff game,
it's going to happen.
They might say some bad things about your husband.
Yeah.
You should have heard us in the university section back in the day. No family members should have been anywhere near us.
No.
We were awful human beings. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The Riders, about an hour away from landing in Winnipeg, Manitoba, to get set for the 112th Grey Cup. The big rumor out of Winnipeg is Mike O'Shea is already chatting with the Toronto Argonauts. They were granted permission to talk to the Bombers head coach about their head coaching vacancy. The rumor mill is going to be flying now all week long in Winnipeg. Of course, our coverage begins tomorrow from Grey Cup City. But coming up next, Belton Johnson will assess the damage after the West Final. I wonder what he's bringing for the tailgating tip that I'm not going to be able to eat on Sunday. We'll get that hint next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.